Thank you, Chelsea. So I'm different than everybody else who gets up here and speaks. I love public speaking. My greatest frustration was one day I was serving jury duty and at Martinez, and there was a room and they had all these chairs and everybody was bored to tears. And I so badly wanted to get up with the podium that had a microphone and just talk to them. And what I wanted to talk to them about was their money. And I would have had a captive audience. And so it's really frustrating because I am retired. I was a financial planner and an educator. And so for over 20 years, I went to companies that you would all know, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Genentech was one of my favorites, Cisco. I could even tell you all the names of companies. And I got to go in and teach just an assortment of people all about their finances. And you would think all of those people making so much money, and a lot of them were, would know what to do with their money, and you know they didn't. And so it was a really fulfilling job, and it was so much fun. And I keep thinking, this gives me a little taste. I get to still do something in that arena. All right, so I was watching, and some of you were already doing the quiz. You were cheating. Anybody score their quiz? They're on the table. Okay, that's for you to take home, actually. So, and if you want to do it with your husband or spouse, then I assume your husband's your spouse, you should not mark it. So make a copy of it before you actually do your answers. There are quizzes all over the internet. This one just happens to be by an organization called the Women's Money Empowerment Network. I love that word, empowerment. And so I just thought this would be something to get you all thinking about where you are in your financial journey. I am going to possibly make some of you a little bit uncomfortable, because talking about money, you either feel like, wow, I'm doing such a great job, or ugh, maybe I'm not doing such a great job. My goal is not to make you uncomfortable. My goal is to get you to think. So real quick, I just want to offer a prayer, because Lord, you guide my words. You open the ears of each person in this room and their hearts to what you would have them hear and know. Lord, always, it's all yours. And all we are faithful stewards. Please give us that attitude and teach us how to open our hands. Because, Lord, you have just entrusted everything to us for a time. Thank you, God. If you look on the back of the handout, you see a cartoon. Do you love that? It just, oh my gosh. Does that look like anybody's garage in the room? Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Okay. That is not an example of good financial planning. I just need you to know that. So we are talking about Habit 5 in our book. And the title of the book talks about sanity, recovering or regaining our sanity. And that's a little bit of what I would hope we could do today. So I'm going to ask a few questions, because what I want you to do is start thinking. This feels really weird. I wish I had the ear mic. When it comes to actual money or things, what is it that gives you a sense of security? We all have something or some things, and really we do. In our book called The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, we're going to talk about this a little bit. The author shares that she has always in her purse five shades of plum-colored lipstick. Now, why would anybody need five shades of one color of lipstick? she says that it gives her a sense of security. And it kind of helps with her feeling of independence. And earning the money to purchase the lipsticks represents for her the power that she has from earning, the earning power. And it also gives her a sense of control over some amount of money and that she can have her desires met. Now, I don't know if you can relate to the lipsticks. I can't. I have one shade of lipstick that I've worn for about 15 years, and I put it on in the morning, and it lasts all day. I cannot relate to five shades of any lipstick, but there are other things that I have that I gain a sense of financial security from. So I'm really curious if anybody is willing, if you thought about it, not maybe lipstick or maybe it is, what is there anything that you can say, oh, yeah, if I've got that, I kind of feel okay. Cell phone, okay? And some of us have two cell phones. Some of us actually have three cell phones. I do. Yeah, thank you. Got that, Mary Lee. What do you have, Mary?
Education.
Okay, that's the answer to the question. So we're just going to hold that answer. Cannot take away your degree. My parents, I remember them telling me that. Some of you who didn't raise your hand, it might be a certain number of shoes in your closet. It could be purses. If I'm hitting something, raise your hand. Full tank of gas. Right on, Melissa. I go along with a full tank of gas and a clean car on the same day. How about the type of car you drive? How about a paid off car loan? How about no student loans? Maybe it's the number of vacations your family takes every year. Maybe it's having enough money to support your kids if they need it, or your parents if they need it. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your job. Do you need to have a certain dollar amount of money in the bank to give you financial security? When I was going through a tough time financially, I saved $5 bills. Anytime I had a $5 bill, if I got it as change or whatever, I saved $5 bills. And I put them where I still put extra cash in my underwear drawer. Gave me a sense of security. That is one of the questions I want you to talk about later when you meet with your small group. Anybody have anything else that you could say gives you a sense of security? Art supplies. Art supplies for Elaine. I would not know what to do with any of those art supplies. I have a funny story about my husband, Steve. I use him in a lot of my stories. He came in one day, it was last summer, and he had been to the gas station, and he just was so excited. And I said, "What's going on?" And he goes, "I feel rich." And I said, "Okay, why do you feel rich?" He goes, "We have two full tanks of propane." Now, the really funny part is my husband doesn't barbecue. He has never barbecued in his whole life. But he was so proud of himself because he had watched me go through having friends over for dinner and our propane tank going out and having to move everything into the kitchen. And he knows that I am perpetually financially insecure. And he felt good, not for himself, but he felt good that he could give me what I refer to as propane security. Yeah. We have not barbecued a lot, so I still have about one whole tank. But it's interesting because we all have something that gives us a sense of security. I hope that your sense of security will come from two sources, because there's really only two. And the first one is God. And the second one is knowledge. Those two will get you through just about anything. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything. You already know that all of us are different in our relationships with money. And there I said it, that dirty word called money that nobody wants to talk about. It's one of the most tricky, taboo topics right up there with sex. And if I had told you today I was going to talk about sex, I have to share a story with you real quick because this is so funny. This is my husband again. So Steve has spent 51 years as a professor at University of San Francisco. And his topic or his subject that he's taught is, you can groan out loud, it's okay, statistics. So we would go to conferences and dinners and things and go around the table, people introduce themselves, and they would say, you know, well, what do you teach? And he would do statistics and the conversation would end. So we were at a conference in San Francisco, I can remember it, and the people at the table, my people, and the subject came up, what do you teach? And he said, and he stopped, and he didn't say statistics, he said sex education. And you know what? Nobody said a word. So those are the two tricky topics. There's politics as well. Religion is there. But what I've learned, it's not sex and money that are actually the taboo topics. Whether you have a lot of both or you're not getting any of either one, it's the lack of communication around sex and money. That's what really it's all about. That's why Steve and I take those 30 minutes every single day. And we walk into each other's offices. We have opposite offices. And one of us will have a glass, and it might be, it doesn't have to be wine, but it's oftentimes wine. And we just hold it up, and he'll say, I'll be right there, or I'll say, give me five. And we go into wherever it's quiet in our house, and we sit down, and we take 30 minutes, and we talk. And that has, I think, saved us from the statistics of a second broken marriage, is just those 30 minutes. I then go on and usually do dinner. Sometimes he goes back in his office and works. But that has become our sacred time. And I have heard him say to friends, this is the most important time of my entire day. I think, wow, I can give him that gift for sure. And we still do talk about sex and money during our 30 minutes, but that's what I want you to do, is talk. He is my current spouse of 33 years. I don't anticipate that Steve would ever fail to try and give me financial security. However, my first marriage dissolved almost a little over four decades ago, and the damages of those years still lingers today. And that's the source of my financial insecurity. It would be easy for me to blame my former spouse for leaving me with three children and no source of income. I could blame him for having to file for bankruptcy, foreclosing, our house was foreclosed on, and lots of other things. But the reality is that I was equally responsible for the mess that I was in. My lack of interest in our finances, of giving him total trust and responsibility to do what was right and smart, and my stepping back and claiming ignorance, was never his fault. That was squarely on my shoulders. There is a whole list of unhealthy financial habits, and you probably could recognize some of these. I could go down that list and check them off, that at one time or other in my past life, or this, and well, hopefully not this life, that I was guilty of all of those bad financial habits. I did those, and I have no pride in any of that. I really have a lot of shame. Maybe you can recognize some of those for yourself. There's one healthy habit that just about obliterates all of those negative ones, and that's knowledge. I worked for a company for going almost 30 years called Financial Knowledge. And all we did was teach. We did not, I shared with Erica this morning, we didn't have business cards. If we'd put out a business card, we would have lost our jobs. We did not give individual advice. All we did was share education. Now, I come from a place of total ignorance. I really, when I was on my own, knew nothing about personal finances. But like what a lot of people do when they recognize their greatest deficit, they go to an extreme to make it a positive. And I did. I became a certified financial planner. I read financial books the same way other people read romance novels, I guess. I always did. I read the Wall Street Journal cover to cover. I would get on an airplane and I would have a week's worth of Wall Street Journals. Irritated everybody around me. But I read. I needed to know everything I could know if I was going to stand up and teach other people about their finances. I went and got a master's degree in psychology because I wanted to understand why smart people did stupid things with their money. Me being my best student. And I was intelligent. I had a college degree, but I knew nothing. And so I want you to know that if you're in that situation where you say, I don't know anything, it is never too late to learn something. And knowledge is true power, and knowledge is true security. Knowledge gives you independence. Knowledge gives you everything. So I don't want you to walk away feeling like, gosh, you know, it's too late for me. It's never too late. I was just about my 40s when I started that walk to become a financial planner. So ignorance is never an excuse, I have to say. When we all have relationships with money going back to our family of origin. My parents never talked about finances. My dad owned his own business. He was a contractor, and certain months I knew we didn't have a lot of money. Other months I knew it felt okay. My dad always drove a Cadillac. Every 2 years he bought a brand new Cadillac. So to me, oh my gosh, this must be a pretty good business that he was in. Until I got older and I recognized that there were the 2 years that he couldn't go buy it, you know, so it was every 2 years he could do this. But that was a value to him. It was an appearance that he felt he had to keep up. But I also recognized for my dad it was a safety issue, I learned, because he felt that that was the biggest, heaviest car that was on the road. And should there be an accident, he was protecting his family. I didn't know that as a child. When you marry somebody else who has issues from their family of origin. So you marry, you merge your money, and you try to see how you can work together. And that's where it gets tricky. And so if you and your spouse don't have open communication around finances, please let your spouse know that you want to know, you want to understand. And if you're the one that has all the power and knowledge in your family, please share with your spouse, because someday something can happen to that person. In my situation, my spouse, who knew everything, I thought, left. Sometimes it's somebody has a stroke or some other debilitating illness, or God forbid, they die. And so it's really important that you share all of that knowledge that you have. Have many of you heard about Dave Ramsey? Okay, yeah, Dave Ramsey. I used to teach classes up here, the Dave Ramsey courses, and it was so much fun. And what I realized is, as a financial professional, I would argue with Dave Ramsey. We would have him up on the big screen, and he would say something, and I would argue. And say, he's wrong. But one thing he was always right about, and it was the first lesson on the first night, was you need to communicate with your partner. You must communicate. And then he would go into the rest of his things. I've been called the Susie Orman of Moraga. Does anybody know who Susie Orman is? Yeah. Okay. Someday I'll tell you a backstory about that. You know, there are financial professionals, and they are experts in what they do. You don't need to become an expert, but you do need to have a level of knowledge that you can, as your mom and dad probably told you, my dad, the only thing he ever said is, you need to be able to take care of yourself. That was all the only message I got about finances, and I violated that. So both Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, all of the other financial advisors would say that's the basis, is to start with your own knowledge. Talk with your spouse, whether it's over a glass of wine or a cup of coffee. No one person in a relationship that's similar, think about a business, should be totally in control and hold all the positions. So it is important sometimes to have the CEO or the CFO or whatever, but not one person should be everything. Steve and I take a Friday, at least one every month when he's not, he has Fridays off. He still works, by the way. And we sit down and we have what we think of as our board meetings. And our board meetings, sometimes he's so cute. At night, I go to bed, he stays up, and in the morning on the kitchen counter that he knows that's where I go, there will be our net worth statement or there will be some other piece of financial information that I know we're having this conversation. And he gives me, because I wake up earlier, I get to look at it, see if I have any adjustments or questions or corrections. But we have that flow of knowledge going back and forth. It's so refreshing. Sometimes it's scary. We don't always agree. But the knowledge, I'd rather know I've got $200 and that's all I've got than to not know how much I have. So that's where I want you to feel like that. Now, I need to caution you. Sometimes this feels overwhelming. Your spouse may not welcome your involvement. If you're in charge, you may not welcome your spouse's involvement. So tread lightly, but I think it's important still to kind of shake things up a little bit. How many of you peeked at the quiz that I passed out? Yeah, I thought you were. Okay. There are a lot of questions there. They're not like, what is your net worth, or do you even know what your net worth is? It's general information that you should know. It's just topics that you can get started with. It's just there to sort of get you thinking about what you might need to get more information about. I know when I was going through my financial struggles, I would have done anything to have had somebody to go to and talk about my finances with. Just somebody a little bit more knowledgeable, wiser. It wasn't so much that I needed how to invest or where to invest. I needed somebody to hold me accountable and somebody who would say, do you know this? And I would be able to say, no, I don't understand what that even is. And somebody to say, well, here's where you go. You can look at this and you can do the research. Come back and we'll talk more. We're hoping to get together and do a women's money talk. And if you're interested and you want to participate in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. So we're just looking for interest at this moment. But to have a conversation, it will not be sales motivated. It won't even be specifically advice driven. It will be knowledge driven. So we'll probably take the format just like we do with Mom's Council, where we have a book and we'll take a look at the chapters in the book, and it will just generate opportunities to talk. And that's really what I think we want to do, is just talk. What I learned from, money myths. What I learned from my previous married life and then my financial fall is what I call it, and then my recovery, because I am a recovering member of Debtors Anonymous, little known fact, there is one that exists. Money doesn't give us power. It doesn't even give us true security. I heard today on a podcast that money represented freedom, freedom to make choices. And that's true. Money does allow you to do that. It might give you a sense of control. But here at Moms Connect, we've talked about the myth of control, that just about the time that we think we are in control, invariably, circumstances will come and just wipe that out. I am a control freak. I have learned, don't even go there. because it's not going to work. So these are some myths about money, that making money defines our worth. If that is your worth, I caution you. Your worth is not your money. Having money gives us control. Never does it give us control. Money ensures our independence. No, because money can go away pretty fast. And money gives us power. The problem with power is it can be misused. I've seen that in situations with divorces where one partner has more control and more power, and how devastating that is. And so again, those are strong words, each of those. So just caution around that. Money can make us feel more independent and secure, but we need to know that none of those things are complete just because of money. We need people. We need our spouses. We need our kids. And we need our friends, especially our girlfriends. If we're ever going to break free from the emotional issues around money, we need to be honest what the real meaning of money is in our lives. So this is self-examination. Our author in the 10 Habits of Happy Mothers says that we need to realize that money can disappear as quickly as it came. I know that. The stock market can crash. I will remember teaching on the day that we had one of the largest stock market crashes, and everybody was looking at their phones and getting up and leaving the room. And I had no idea, because I wasn't looking at a phone and thinking, oh my gosh, and phones were brand new, cell phones. This is horrible. And it was. It was the single largest crash in one day. A business can fail. Yuki shared about that. You know, jobs can be lost. Marriages can be broken. Instead of looking for security in the size of our bank accounts or the number of lipsticks we carry, we need to focus on the good relationships, because those are the things that will go on. Focus on your faith. The studies have already shown that people with strong faith can face difficulties with greater peace and less fear, because they learn to rely on God and not their stuff. And then remember, your children are watching. Your children are learning silent messages about how you manage money and how you think about it and what your values are. So you're contributing to their future financial legacy and setting that foundation. So that list of unhealthy habits, if you have those, talk about those, depending on the age of your children, and just share. You know, at one time, I can say honestly, I was so deep in debt that it was a gully. I didn't know how to get out of that. I went to work for a debt consolidation company to learn how to get out of debt, because I knew it was bigger than I was. But what I learned was that I could overcome something that was that scary. And I want my kids to know that. I don't want them to think, oh, mom's got it all together. That would be false. Learn and practice contentment. Oh my gosh, how do you learn contentment? Well, you do that. You practice it, and you practice it, and you keep doing that. If you have a spouse that gets up and goes to work every day, like my husband, he's no longer teaching. He now has his own business. He's 81 years old, and he goes to work. And I thank him. When we sit down and have our glass of wine, I thank him for going and standing on the BART platform and going into the city and putting forth that effort to give us that financial security. Show contentment. I thank him. I wanted a new bathroom. I got a new driveway. And I thank him for that driveway, because now Gabe is learning to drive and there's enough room for two cars. And so I've learned to be content in what I have, but also to show gratitude. I have 5 practical action steps for you. Oh, well, there they are. No, they're not. First, use your head. Use your head. God gave you a brain. Learn something new about your finances, just anything. Just do something. Open your mouth and say thank you. Thank you to everybody, to the people who provided brunch for us this morning, to your spouses, to your children. Model gratitude. It's so important. Open your hands and bless others with your resources. I want to challenge you today, this week, do something for your head. Learn something new. Pick up a book. Do a blog. If you want to know a blog or a podcast, let me know. And do something for someone else. You will never feel as rich as when you give to someone else. So do something with your hands. Close your wallet for 1 week. My former colleague wrote a whole book called How to Freeze Your Credit Cards. It was a little book, but literally we had people putting their credit cards in little Ziploc bags and putting it in a cup of water and putting it in the freezer and going an entire week without touching their credit cards. Now you can do it online. And then, yeah, you can do that. Get on your knees. Get on your knees, or like, I can't get up if I get on my knees, but I visually thank God for how he has blessed me. I have an appreciation for everything I have because I know what it's like to not have. But I thank God knowing that he is the source of everything. If you can take a little bit of what we've just talked about and what Yuki's talked about and you can apply that, you will walk away a much richer person than when you walked into this room, just with a little bit more knowledge. The back of the room is the sign-up sheet if you're interested. Erica Odell is here. She put out some business cards as well. Yuki, did you put cards in the back? No. Okay. Fabulous. We are all resources. We're not necessarily trying to sell, advise, or whatever, but we want you to know that sometimes in this room there's a wealth of resources. I want to thank you all so much for sitting through a talk about money. Next time I'm going to talk about sex.